Just quickly by way of review, last week we kind of laid a foundation for the image bearers, and we talked particularly that a person's likeness to Christ is not something that happens all at once. This is a process that's going to take place as we become more conformed to the image of his Son. We talked about the meaning of likeness, and just in summary, we're spiritually, intellectually, and morally like God, though flawed from sin. We find our identity in the person of God. We're incomplete or empty apart from a relationship with Him. We can know Him and fellowship with Him. Our fulfillment of a life purpose is in how we bear to those around us His image. That's a synopsis of what it means to be image bearers. And then we talked about the mountain to climb for image bearers. We mentioned that we are all sinners. You already knew that, didn't you? We are. We're all sinners. And that presents a problem because that sin entered our life and it marred the image that God intended for the world to see. We talked, number two, about the power of sin, understanding the power of sin. And that's where we went to the text in Romans chapter 7. Every time I want to do good, Paul says there's this war taking place inside of me. Evil is always there. And that's part of the mountain that we have to climb. Which leads us then to, we must recognize the deception of our own heart. It's deceitful and sly and insidious and slippery. Your heart as well as mine. That's what the Bible says. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then lastly, we talked about we are constantly at war. One thing that I failed to mention last week, though all of you know it, the war is created when you became a Christian. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's when the world war came. People who aren't saved don't have a war because they don't have two natures. They just have the flesh. But once you got saved, the Spirit came to dwell in you, and now you've got this battle taking place, the flesh lusting against the Spirit, and so forth. God's goal for you is that the Spirit win and reflect His image. That's what He wants for us. But that is a daily struggle. Truth is, it's a moment-by-moment struggle sometimes, isn't it? We're constantly fighting that. And so we have to know that there is a fight that wants to take place. Tonight, I'd like for us to look at the mind of image bearers. The mind of image bearers. And this is really critical that you understand this process. The battlefield of all spiritual battles begins in your mind. It doesn't matter what battle you're going to fight spiritually. It starts in your mind. And if you allow your mind to not be controlled, you have already lost the spiritual battle. You cannot win a spiritual battle in which your mind is not controlled. That's impossible. Can't happen. Matter of fact, tonight, simply, we must change our thinking process. Notice again one of our key verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit we got when we got saved, so that now there's an opportunity for us to battle. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So tonight we want to talk about the mind, the battlefield of what's going to take place in our hearts and lives. So let's pray together. Father, rain's coming down tonight, and that can be a little bit of a distraction, but we pray that we'd listen intently to your word. Help me, Lord, to be clear in the explanations, the things you've pointed out to me, even this past week. We pray that it'll be helpful to our people as we fight this battle. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And one author said, having a renewed mind is not just memorizing a few Bible verses about a problem you're having, although that may be a start, and I agree it is. It is not just becoming familiar with Christian principles and convictions about godly lifestyles. Having a renewed mind involves a relationship with your Creator that actually changes you because of your exposure to deity. Now, I want you to think about an illustration in Scripture of this. Moses fellowshiped with God face to face. Was Moses changed as a result of that interaction with deity? Yes, he was. So much so that the people of Israel said to him, hey, we can't look on you. By the way, that's probably a pretty good indication of where they were spiritually. They couldn't even look on the man who was just a reflection of God. Moses had had a one-on-one relationship with him. But they're saying, look, we can't even look at you. Put a veil over your face. Contextually, it talks about that veil in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're to reflect God, but we only do that by getting to know, by being exposed to deity. That's why this morning I talked about not just learning the Bible. That's critically important. But it's knowing the God of the Bible, being exposed to Him. So tonight, I'd like for us to look at real two simple points, though there are multiple points under each one. So don't get too excited tonight, all right? Number one, I'd like to look at some explanation, to explain some things in a couple of words that will be helpful as we march through this before we make some application. The first word I'd like for us to look at tonight is the word changed. It is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. Visiting the Modern Art Museum, a lady turned to an attendant standing nearby. This, she said, I suppose is one of those hideous representations you call modern art. No, madam, replied the attendant, that's called a mirror. You know, sometimes we look into the mirror and we get a pretty hideous reflection, don't we? It's like, oh, man, is that really me? Part of the problem of the world today is that people are really not that bad. They're really not sinners. And that is really not sin. It's a phobia, or it's this, and they're renaming it and so forth. But you understand, the only time that you really can be rescued is when you need to be rescued, and you know you need to be rescued. When you know I am absolutely worthless and I cannot help myself, you're going to be looking for somebody to help you. This word changed has the idea of it's to change into another form, or to transform, or to transfigure. We get our word metamorphosis from this word. The Greek word that this particular one is used four times in the Word of God. I want to give those to you. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2. And was transfigured before them. It's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. So the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration saw him changed into his full glory. It was an incredible experience, Peter describes in 2 Peter chapter number 1. Mark 9 and verse 2, referring to the same event, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and was transfigured before them. It's the same word is changed here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Same word. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, to be changed is to be transformed into something that you weren't before. That's part of what happens at salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's regened. He's different than he used to be. Okay? That's positional. Practical is a different ballgame, isn't it? Positionally, we became changed into the image of God instantly. We're not going to be able to be any more like God positionally than we are right now. Practically, everyday living, you and I still have some work to do on that changed into his image. So the word changed is one that I'd like to look at. The second one is the word renewed. And this is all still under that changed principle here. Because the word renewed means to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. Right? So this is, I'm different than I was before. I'm not like the corrupt state, but I'm renewed in the spirit of my mind. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay, now notice a couple of words in this verse. Now put on the new man, which is renewed. How is he renewed? In knowledge. After the image of him that created him. So part of the way that I renew my mind is by getting to know God. And as I get to know him, it changes me. In other words, I'm exposed to deity. And as I'm exposed to deity, it changes me into something that I wasn't before. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see how multiple of these verses is talking about that change is primarily going to take place right here in our mind. In the internal man, it's not literally referring to just the mind, but the internal man is going to be changed. So the word changed. Number two, I'd like us to look at the word conformed. Conformed. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. You're familiar with that, and we've already looked at it partially tonight. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So the Apostle Paul says, look, because of all that God has done for you, by the way, he spent 11 chapters in Romans explaining that. This is what you were. This is what God has done for you and continuously do for you. Here is the most logical conclusion. Is to do what? Well, to present your bodies. That's the most logical conclusion. And he says, and be not conformed. There's our word. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's the word changed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word conform there means to conform oneself, the mind, the character of someone, to another's pattern. Okay? So the idea behind this word is that I would be poured into a mold. So tonight, if I took the time, and we're not going to do that, but if I took the time to place a number of glasses and vases and stuff up here, and I poured water into those, what would the water conform to? It would conform to the shape of whatever glass is. So if it was a goblet, it would look like a goblet, if you will, especially if you froze it. If it was a vase with a, you know, maybe a larger bottom and then a slender neck and it came out, it would look like that, all right? Being poured into, all right? What God is saying to us in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at another one in just a minute, is that don't let yourself be poured into the image of the world. Be not conformed, notice what he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be ye metamorphosed into what? God. That's what he wants us to be. What is your natural tendency? To be poured into the mold of the world. That's what we naturally do. Matter of fact, if you don't do anything, that's what you'll be. You'll be conformed to the image of the world. You'll be poured out, and whatever the world looks like, that's what you'll look like. It's really important that we anchor ourselves to the Word of God, because the world is changing all the time. That's why people out there are being conformed to the world. And so what they're doing is they're taking the Bible and they're forcing the Bible into looking like a vase like the world. But then when the world changes, they'll pour it into another one. Well, I don't think that's what God was talking about. I love to read some of these articles just to keep my blood pumping a little bit. And when people say things like this, it would be impossible for the writers of Scripture to anticipate what the world would be like today. Well, that would be true if they were just writers, not under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But of course, many of those guys don't believe in inspiration anyway. I don't even know why they bother with the Bible. I mean, why even bother with it? You don't believe it. You cut out most of it. You don't believe it was inspired. You don't believe it's preserved. I'm not even sure what you're doing with it. So the idea here is don't be poured into the image of the world. The contrast is I want us to be poured into the image of God. That's what he wants for us. Now let's take our Bibles and turn to another passage of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. We'll actually get some context here. Look at verse 13 through 16. Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, notice how he starts. Wherefore, gird up what? The loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to. That phrase, not fashioning yourselves according to, same word as conformed. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Don't be poured into the image of the world. As obedient children, if you're going to be obedient to Christ, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, you're different now. God's changed you. So don't be like that. Be conformed. And notice the basis for this conformity. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in every way that you live, your lifestyle, the way you carry yourself. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. A couple of words here. The word gird means to tie up the loose ends, if you will. The idea was to take all the loose material and tuck it in so that you could run, so that you could fight, so that you could garden, whatever. You didn't have all this loose material. So he's saying, look, tie up the loose ends of your mind. Don't let there be little fraggly stuff out there. That's a new word I just made up. You can Google that later, right? All right. The word be sober means calm, collected, circumspect. I'll get it out. Calm, collected, circumspect, self-controlled. That's the idea behind be sober. So I'm not in a tizzy. I know what's happening around me, okay? I'm self-controlled. That's all wrapped up in that word, be sober. And then he says, and hope to the end. That hope is a hope with joy and full confidence. I know my Redeemer. I know what's going to happen over there. It's full and complete confidence, all right? So, from Scripture, God wants us to be changed. He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants us to be different than we were. That took place positionally at the moment of salvation. Okay? Practically, it's happening day by day. Every day, every moment, you are being conformed to something. It's happening all the time. Like, well, Pastor, I'm kind of not being conformed to anything. I'm just kind of vegging. Can I tell you what you're being conformed to? The world. Because it takes you making conscious choices to gird up the loins of your mind. A guy didn't just walk along with all this extra material around him and just think, you know what? Probably should gird up this so I can get running. And just, whoop, it just happened. It took some effort on his part. He had to make a conscious decision to do it, and then he had to do it. And I suspect, though I have personally never worn a skirt and had to gird up that stuff, but I suspect that he had to keep doing it. In other words, I suspect that it didn't stay all girded up, but it was constantly retucking. And if you've ever had a little boy, you can't ever keep his shirt tucked in, right? I mean, that's why some mamas sew it to it. And that's really cruel, mamas. I just want you to know that. That's unfair for that poor little boy. But I understand why you do it, all right? Okay, so the explanation. Number two, let's look at the emphasis. The emphasis. We've already read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Two verses that we've already read as well, Colossians 3 and verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And Ephesians 4, 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what's our emphasis? I want to give you four things this evening that I think will help us. Number one, control your thoughts. Control your thoughts. Now, we've already talked about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Gird up the loins of your mind. You must control what you think. Now, let's look at a couple of other passages of Scripture that I believe will help us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, we're doing some turning tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. This text of Scripture answers all kinds of things that we've already talked about. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. There's that reference to war. It's not a physical warfare, though many times it does impact our physical. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's fleshly, but mighty, down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, what's he talking about? Controlling your thoughts. Bringing them in. He says to cast down imaginations, to get rid of them. What's an imagination? Whatever you can conjure up in your mind. We do it all the time. Matter of fact, we allow our mind to think something that's an imagination. Well, I think that that person did such and such because of so and so. And then we say, and I bet you, you know what? I bet you they did that because of that, and they did that because of that, and they did that because of that. And before long, you're so far down that path, you can't even figure out where you started at all. And the truth is, the very beginning statement wasn't true to begin with. And so you walk up to that person, a husband, or a wife, or a child, or a friend, and you say, good morning, don't speak to me. I can't believe you did that. Did what? Well, yesterday, when you came home, you didn't even speak to me when you came in the door. Well, that's because I didn't see you when you came in the door. Why didn't you come looking for me? And all of a sudden you got, oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? Imagination. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. All of you have done it. You've allowed yourself to run down a path. Well, I'm sure this happened or that happened. You know what God says? Cast that down. You can't do that. In addition to that, that's interpersonal. We have all kinds of thoughts about God, don't we? Well, if God were a good God, he wouldn't. Well, obviously, that person must have sin, because, you know, that's what happens to people who have sin. Don't you love the really dumb question that the disciples ask? Who sinned that this man should be born blind? This man or his parents? Oh, so now we sin before we're even born. Doesn't make any sense. But that's the mentality, isn't it? We have to bring those thoughts in. And then we have to say, okay, God, the thought that I'm thinking, is this pleasing to you? Is this thought okay for me to think? You say, well, how would I know that? This book. There's been many a time I've opened in the morning and I'm thinking through my day and I'm thinking, boy, I think I'm going to handle this situation this way. And right in the text, it's like, whoa, that's exactly wrong to handle it that way. Change my thinking to match what God's word says. Or, hey, you know what? That's a confirmation. That thinking is correct according to Scripture. Okay, I can think that way then. We've got to do that. Control your thoughts. Bring them in. And we could spend much more time on this text, but we won't do that. Still, as we think about control our thoughts, let's look at a couple of other things here. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. You know these verses that we're going to use here. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart, the internal man, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Don't everybody look right up here, okay? Because this is really important. You are what you think. If you believe that what you're thinking is not going to impact what you are, then you do not believe the Word of God. That's your only option. You are what you think. So what are you allowing your mind to constantly think about? That's what you really are. Matter of fact, Jesus told us that from within a man, that's what defiles him, right? For out of the heart does what? All kinds of things. It's spewing forth. That's who someone really is. These verses are really important that we grasp. That's why it's important that I control my thoughts. I don't want to be a man that thinks this particular way because that's what I'll become. I've heard people say, I don't know how I made that choice. That's not who I really am. Can I tell you how you made the choice? You thought about making that choice. Because you didn't just up one day and make that choice. You thought through that process. And that leads us to the third thing about controlling your thoughts is, and that is you reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap what? Corruption. You can't sow to your flesh and reap spiritual. I'm amazed when I sit down and talk to people about this. I remember one time sitting down and talking to someone who was involved in a variety of evil things. Pornography, bad movies, music, all kinds of media. This person said to me in the course of the conversation that they wanted to get right, which was wonderful. That's typically why they're sitting down talking to you. And I said to them, can you give me an estimation as to how long a week you spent on this filth? And they said, probably an average of 15 to 20 hours a week. So I said to them, as a starter, you need to spend 15 or 20 hours in the Word of God. You know what their first words out of their mouth was? I don't have time. I don't have time. Then you don't have time to change. You can't spend hours in filth, whether it's television, movies, internet, video games, music. You can't spend hours a day doing that and spend 10 minutes in the Word of God and expect you to get the victory in your spiritual life. That's impossible. It's not going to happen. You have got to spend time because you reap what you sow. This is such a fundamental thing, but it's so very important. Thoughts equals actions. Actions equals habits. Habits equals destinies. Can I say that again? Thoughts reap actions. Actions reaps habits. Habits reaps destinies. How does a guy make a free throw standing on a line with 80,000 people yelling at him? Because he's probably made that same shot a million times. I remember when Juwan and Heather were looking at going to Kazakhstan and we were looking at unique ways to get them in. I said to Juwan, why don't you be a violin teacher? Those of you that have been around here a while know Juwan was a tremendous violin player. And I said, Juwan, you ought to teach violin. That'd be a great inroads. He said, I can't even get close to qualifying. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've probably practiced a couple of thousand hours on the violin. He said, to qualify in those countries to teach violin, you need 10,000 hours of practice. Most of your mouth just hung open. That's what mine did too. I'm like, what? 10,000 hours of practice? You see, a thought reaps an action, which reaps a habit, which reaps a destiny. You are what you think. So, control your thoughts. Number two, very simply, cleanse your thoughts. Cleanse your thoughts. We know this verse, Psalms 119, 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. The Word of God is a cleansing agent. Turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 8. There's a lot of text we could go to for this, but James chapter 4 and verse 8. And notice what he talks about the mind here. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We have to cleanse our thoughts, which again takes time. That's why I believe if you've spent hours and hours and hours viewing junk, you need to spend hours and hours and hours doing positive things. Pour in the Word of God. Let it transform your mind. I'm amazed at the people who aren't willing to do that. Matter of fact, on average, most of us are probably exposed to more of the world's philosophy in a given day than we are exposed to the Word of God in a given day. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, just a casual viewing of news sources. Your average news source, philosophy of the world or philosophy of God? The world. In your grocery stores and restaurants and places of business that you go, the music, philosophy of the world or philosophy of God? The world. Magazine articles that you just peruse in stores, which you probably shouldn't be doing, men particularly. Philosophy of the world or philosophy of God? And frankly, most of the people we rub shoulders with day by day is a philosophy of what? The world. My point is, you are being touched by the world's philosophy far more than you even realize. It's hard to turn on anything. The internet, television, it's hard to turn on anything and not be impacted by that. And so many of God's people spend, if at any time at all, spend 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe even 10 minutes in the Word of God, and that's it for the day. And we wonder why the flesh is winning the battle. Now, I understand that you probably can't spend hours in the Word of God. I got that. But we got to make this a priority. If we really want to change, If you are struggling in your thought life, I can tell you the solution. It's pour into the Word of God. Now, let me tell you what's probably going to happen. And this is, I don't necessarily have a Bible verse for this, though I think we could look at some Bible applications. Particularly those who have been involved in all kinds of filth. You start pouring in the truth of the Word of God, the cleansing agent of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what's going to start pouring out. Filth. If I got a glass of mud up here, or a bucket of mud, and I put a clean water hose, stuff it in it, and turn it on full blast, what's going to come out the top? Mud. I've had men come to me after 2 or 3 days and say, Pastor, I am doing what you say. I am pouring into the Word of God, and I'm telling you, my thoughts are worse. My dreams are horrible. I cannot. I'm going to tell you what's happening. The Word of God is cleansing it. It's pouring out that mess out of your life. But you got to do it. You've got to cleanse yourself with the Word of God. So, number one, control your thoughts. Number two, cleanse your thoughts. Number three, change your thoughts. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. There's two areas in which I think changing your thoughts happen. That is memorization and meditation. There's multiple areas under the word meditation. And the reason I'm not going to camp on this is because next week's message is all about meditation. Okay? So I'm just going to touch on that and we'll deal with it next week. But you've got to change your thoughts. The only way you can do that is, again, by spending time in the Word of God. You've got to think like God wants you to think. So every time I come to a situation, how would God handle this? That's why when Jesus was tempted, he said, this is what God's Word says, this is what God's Word said, this is what God's Word says. Fourthly, concentrate on God. Primarily on who He is. Who is God? What are the wonderful characteristics of Him? As we look at a text of Scripture, do we see primarily a rule that we have to obey? Nothing wrong with that. But if we're not careful, we get this whole huge set of rules that we have to obey and we have no relationship with Him. The best way is for me to get to know Him. By the way, when I get to know Him, all the things that He wants me to be conformed to are not a problem. I naturally want to do them because I know Him. I know what He likes. I know what He dislikes. And because I have that relationship with Him, I don't necessarily have to have a set of rules. And hear me out. I'm not saying we don't have rules. Okay? What I'm saying is I don't have to have this set of rules on my wall that says, okay, today I didn't do that, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that. I must be okay. The Pharisees did that. And what did Jesus say to them? You're a whited sepulcher. You're full of dead men's bones. We don't want to be that way. I'd rather approach it with a relationship with God. Okay, God, I'm facing a new thing. There's a new form of music. There's a new movie out. There's new this. There's because the world's changing, isn't it? Okay, I got to come up with a new rule. How about just going to God and saying, God, does this please you? Is this thought okay with you? Concentrate on God. I want to challenge you as you read the Word every day. I think it'd be great to pull out a thought to meditate. I do that. And I'm going to tell you, in the last couple of weeks particularly, the Lord's really been impressing me to particularly look for Him. Sometimes there's a principle that I want to live by, but it's because of who He is. What a difference that is. Look for who He is. Okay, God says, be holy. Well, why does He say that? Because He's holy. That's His characteristic. He's a holy God. That's why He wants us to be holy. And on it goes. Concluding statement tonight. Here's how I think it could be summarized. The Spirit of God must illuminate the Word of God to teach us about the God of the Word so that we may be like Him. That is, bear His image. I'll say that again. The Spirit of God must illuminate the Word of God to teach us about the God of the Word so we may be like Him, bearing His image. Remember again, it takes time to change. It takes time to change. The habits that you've developed, some of you got a lot of years of habit developing. Pastor Brew asked me tonight, he said, what is old? I said, somewhere between 72 and 74. And I said, pal, if you're at 75, you're way over the hill, man. But the truth is, can I talk to our older folk in here? It's possible that the older folk in here have a lot more bad habits to break. It's also possible that you've had time to get to know your God more and to be more conformed to the image of His Son. I know many of you saw on my Facebook page this week, but this was a powerful statement. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who fought Nazi Germany, eventually died for it, said, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. When they look at you, they think, there's got to be a God. Look at Him. Image bearers. Image bearers. You're the only message some people will ever see. They're not going to pick up the Word of God. They're going to read you. That's why it's important that we be His image bearer. Next week, we'll look at the meditation of image bearers. Lots of truth there when we talk about the meditation as we get back to the book. The Word of God is the agent for our change as we move forward. Father, thank You that You let the rain stop tonight so we could concentrate a little bit. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God and its truth. Oh, Lord, how I want to be changed. How I want to be renewed. How I want to be conformed to the image of Your Son. And, Lord, there are days I think, wow, there's such a long ways to go. But I want to be that perfect image bearer for You. Help us, Lord, to control our thoughts, to cleanse our thoughts. Lord, help us to change our thoughts and help us to concentrate on You. Because when we get a good view of You, it changes everything. Help us tonight as we give the invitation that Your Spirit would work as only He can. In Christ's name we pray.